currently we try to log in through Skype and the NextStage Live environment to talk to Steve directly.
Hello.
Andreas, bist du schon in Kontakt mit ihm?
Ja, noch nicht okay. Ganz.
Gut.
Ich arbeite noch dran.
Hi, Steven. Are you online?
I am here. I am online. I am able to see the screen.
Soll ich da anschalten?
And doesn't sound like you're getting sound from me yet.
Okay.
And still waiting for you guys to hear me. I can hear you fine. I still hear you fine. Oh, now I'm hearing myself back. That's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Yes, we'd like to introduce, to invite Steven Downs, because we knew that he had a kind of critical position towards workplace learning. So, and now the time's up to you, Steven, for our viewers. What do you think about workplace learning?
Hello. I'm going to assume that you can hear hello. Me at the moment. I'm going to assume that you can hear me at the moment. And that sounds pretty good. So. I'm turning down the speakers on my end, so I'm not going to be able to hear you. I'm only going to be able to get.
I hope you couldn't. You could hear the applause to your paper that you read, Stephen. And well, your paper has, in many points, been quite, how can I say, fantastic in a certain sense, but also provoking in another sense. Before I ask the question that I can easily come up with, it's up to the floor to ask you a couple of questions. Also, die Frage zuerst an das Publikum und auch an die virtuellen Teilnehmer. Welche Fragen können Sie, möchten Sie an Stephen Downs zu seinem Paper stellen?
And oh no, okay, I do hear you. I'm just waiting. Okay, I just as I turned off the collaborative environment there, now I'm only on Skype. I heard nothing but silence. I thought I had killed all my sound.
Okay, but you can hear me, Stephen, is that right?
Yes, I hear you clearly.
Okay, well, so the line is perfect because we hear you perfectly.
Excellent. Are you getting okay. Video? I'm just curious.
I do. The audience doesn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Except we could zoom with the camera onto my screen, but I think it's too tight.
Yeah. It's, my video is overrated anyways.
Well, maybe it's... I take the time to ask a couple of questions myself and then come back to our audience later.
Sure.
Maybe... The first question makes a link to a question that we discussed in the in accordance with the last paper that we heard before you, which concerned the subject how to measure impact on human resource development. Because everything that you expose to us is very intriguing, it's fascinating, it's an idea which pioneers and nerds would certainly love to come up with. But if I were a boss, if I had an enterprise of myself, how make you sure that learning happens at all? And how make you sure that learning happens the way that you want it? And how do you become sure that learning gives the outcomes that you need to get your job done as an enterprise as a whole? So how is steering an organization of learning possible?
Yeah, there's so much embedded in that question. And it's the number one most common question. But there's so much embedded in it that it's necessary to take it apart. And I'll take two strands out of this question. There are many more strands, but I'll take two strands. The one strand is the concept of the role of the boss, and the other strand is the concept of measuring effectiveness. Let me take the role of the boss first, although it comes a bit later in the question. And the idea here is that there is a person who is responsible for outcomes and sets in motion a process and in order to achieve certain outcomes. And this is a model of the hierarchical model of workplace organization, the collaborative model, where the idea is that everybody in an enterprise is working on the same goal or same objective these days with under the same values and strategies, etc. And that this organization will be directed from a centralized management perspective. And I think that more and more workplaces are moving away from that form of organization, and they're moving away from that form of organization not out of idealism or politics, but because of pure pragmatism. Especially once an organization achieves a certain size, it becomes increasingly difficult, if not impossible, for an organization to be managed in this way. As a matter of pure practicality, a manager is not able to control the output of his staff beyond very, very broad parameters. And so the more precisely a person attempts to determine the output of an organizational structure, the more frustrated that person will be. This is increasingly the case as workers become less and less mechanical, less and less rote work or handwork, and more knowledge-based or intelligence-based. If you've got a staff member that you have hired because of what they know, because of their specific expertise, then attempting to manage that specific expertise actually becomes counterproductive because the manager knows less than the employee about that particular task. So beyond very broad parameters, it is not possible to direct that employee in a productive way. So even from a management perspective, at this point, all you're doing is providing outputs and trusting to the employee that they will satisfy the processes necessary in order to achieve those outputs. In that case, right now, you're not going to achieve results simply by implementing this learning solution or that learning solution. In that case, what becomes more important is the provision of a supportive environment and supportive infrastructure for that person. If we think by analogy to the communications infrastructure, we don't tell the employee exactly what to say to the clients. Rather, we provide them with a telephone and the capacity to speak to clients. And we trust that the employee will say the right thing. Now, I'm sure some people are thinking, well, what about call centers? But call centers are the exception to that particular rule. Although I could talk about call centers, but I won't. That's the first thing. The second thing is with the evaluation of the results themselves. There's the perception, and it's a lingering perception, and it's based on a Newtonian, atomistic view of the world, that we can organize the world into neat causes and effects. And our actual experience is that this is not the case. Sorry about the clock in the background. It always rings at the most inopportune times. Which is odd because those times are completely predictable. Almost done. Okay, it's all done.
No problem. Hardly listening.
Now, so the idea is that you perform task A and get effect B, or you perform action A, get effect B. So when you're evaluating for A, was A successful, you look and see whether B occurred. The problem is, in a complex environment, you can't effectively predict whether B happens. You can't measure for the effectiveness of A in any reliable way. That doesn't mean you can't do measurements. You can do measurements like crazy. In today's world, with analytics and everything right down to keystroke mapping and output analysis and return on investment calculations and all that, you can get piles and piles of data. What I'm trying to say here is that this data will be misleading. If you're using this data to assess whether the action A resulted in the effect B, this data will be misleading. It will not inform you whether or not A was in fact the cause of B. I'm not explaining this nearly as well as I'd like to. So I'll stop here and ask and see if you need clarification. Those weren't very good answers, but they were too long and not as precise as I would have liked, but I'm hoping I'm getting the idea across.
Anyway, it was a long and complex question, so no problem with this. Well, I could keep on arguing and discussing with you for hours, probably. But once again, back to our audience. Hatten Sie schon Zeit nachzudenken? Gibt es Fragen von Ihnen, die wir an Steven richten? Denn wir würden dann für die weitere Diskussion mit den vor Ort präsenten Sprechern Steven nicht gut einbinden können. Deswegen würden wir die Fragen an ihn gerne jetzt bearbeiten, wenn möglich. seems as if you stunned them all.
it's hard to find, you know, a point to ask a question in a presentation like this because, well, first of all, it was very broad and very sweeping. If I just come in and talked about, you know, the implementation of Yammer in a corporate enterprise, you know, you have something you can hang a question on there. You know, what about Yammer for the manager? What about subgroups within Yammer, etc.? We can talk about a lot of the details. Something broader like this does resist questioning simply because you don't know what would produce a reasonable answer to a question.
Well, but I think to conclude, or kind of conclude the discussion, I think that the model that you propose is challenging as far as it highlights the classical frontiers and the classical philosophy of hierarchical enterprises. So considering just only networking, network cooperation, or keeping your data in a cloud and all these things, you permanently handle with the loss of frontiers of an enterprise. If you deal with the with the role of the boss, who is not in charge of giving you targets in your annual MBO to what you learn and what for you learn, but to enhance and to enable your learning competencies in your learning infrastructures, then you're different. Then you have different models of what is leadership about and what is the economical and also the philosophical attitude of the enterprise itself about. So there are lots of basic questions, but I fear that time will not allow to discuss them today. But I look forward to the next one and would now then switch to the discussion with our German-speaking speakers here in Zurich. And thanks to you, Stephen, once again, and a large applause for being with us that early in the morning and sharing your ideas and thoughts with us. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you.
Okay,